So I was actually one of the founders of evangelism at Microsoft. I left the OS2 group, and I joined Cameron Myhrvold and Victor Grabner and Bob Taniguchi and some other people that were then doing something I believe we called ourselves systems marketing back then. And they were doing marketing for OS2 and talking to developers, helping them understand things better. And then soon after I left the OS2 group, and I think it's probably because I left the OS2 group, OS2 kind of fell on bad times then. Suddenly OS2 was not what we were talking to people about, but Windows was going to. And we decided we were going to reinvent ourselves and try to really focus on the issue of understanding that people don't buy operating systems, people buy applications. We needed to make sure that the developers writing the best applications understood how to use our platforms in the best possible way, so that when our platform came out with some great technology that we spent a lot of time putting into it, that applications were showing people what this technology is all about by the way of how they presented their value to the users. And so we were trying to, teaching ourselves what all this meant and how to focus on these sort of things. We quite frankly saw that Apple had a very good program that they called themselves their evangelism group down there. We kind of saw what they're doing. They had these this system they had set up. They have weekly monthly letters they sent to the developers talking about what was changing the operating system, kind of a mini SDK sort of thing. We had our own SDK at the time, so we didn't really follow exactly what Apple was doing, but we saw that that was catching hold of people. People liked to be talked to about the platform and be told what's going on. And so we created this whole evangelism movement, trying to understand what developers were needing to hear from us, how we could assist them in writing great applications and getting them to appreciate what we were doing technology-wise, rather than just simply, popping out an SDK, throwing it to me in the mail, them getting this big, gigantic set of books and disks and not really knowing where to start, not really knowing what were the cool pieces of the technology, not really knowing, what should they focus on for their application to really provide great value to it. Plus, we also gave a conduit for those developers to talk back into Microsoft. We'd be talking to the Ray Ozzies of the world and finding what sort of applications they were writing and what applications they were wanting to write. And they're saying, I wish Windows did this. And we say, why is that important to you? What would be great in that? And they say, because I want to do this. And we say, we got this technology over here. And sometimes they say, I've looked at that, but it's not quite right. Or they'd say, I didn't know about that. And so we'd have this conversation with them, and that through that conversation, we would be telling the developer things, and the developer would be telling Microsoft things, and that would actually work its way back into the system. I think Olay is a good example of how this process worked. Olay was very much a conversation we had with the big developers out there of, what do you want to do for allowing applications to communicate better between themselves? Back then, all we had was DBE. For allowing this level of communication, and you couldn't quite get the same level of embedding of content and embedding of functionality into applications that Olay needed to provide. And by talking to all these developers, finding out how they're doing things, whether it's AutoCAD and Mathematica and other companies, we were able to take and work with them to develop this thing that we called Olay, became Olay 2, turned into Calm, and eventually evolved into what we now have for .NET.